the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in the sight of the Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Sermon for today, the first Sunday in Lent, 40 days in the wilderness, the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr. Today's college refers directly to what St. Matthew is describing in today's Gospel. The collect says that Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights for our sake. He did it for our benefit, to do us some good. He fasted, first of all, to teach us a few things. The Church claims that Christianity is a continuation of Judaism. That claim is clearest in our teaching that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior God promised Israel in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. The fasting and temptation in the wilderness is one way St. Matthew presents Jesus as the man who relives the whole history of Israel in his life of 30-some years. Just before the fasting, John the Baptist baptizes Jesus in the Jordan River. That event corresponds to the Exodus, when God led Israel out of her captivity in Egypt through the Red Sea. Afterward, Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness being tested. So Jesus spends a corresponding 40 days in the wilderness being tested. All that helps us to believe that Jesus is the one who was supposed to come. Another central point of the Church's teaching is that Jesus is not only God, but also a human being. We would find it hard to believe that Jesus is really human if we could not see that he experienced life in pretty much the same way we do. Today's Gospel focuses upon a familiar aspect of human existence, what we call testing. When Moses explained to the people of Israel why it took them 40 years to walk from Egypt to the Promised Land, he said it was because God wanted to test them. God sent Israel hardship so he could find out what Israel would do and whether or not they would be faithful to his commandments. Our life is also a series of tests. God sends us hardships too. He wants to find out what we are made of, how we will react, whether we will try to figure out what he wants us to do, or whether we will go do it our own way, go off on our own and try to handle things without him. God tested Israel. God tests us. And the Epistle to the Hebrews says of Jesus that he was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. So if what it means to be human is to be tested, then Jesus was clearly human. The difference between Jesus and on the one hand and Israel and ourselves on the other is that he passed the test and resisted the temptations. He is the only one who knows how strong testing and temptation really are, because he is the only one who resists them completely. Reading again from Hebrews, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of his people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. The point is that Jesus did not resist temptation so he could rub our noses in how much better he is than we are. Instead, precisely because he knows how painful our temptations and testings are, he is the priest who can best understand us and help us to get us reconciled to God. The three specific temptations and testings he goes through in the wilderness all come from the devil. When the devil gets after us, We can resist him with Jesus' help. If we forget Jesus, we cannot resist the devil at all. The devil's strategy is to get our attention off of Jesus. That is the only way he can win. With Jesus, the devil tries first to get his attention off God and onto how hungry he is. Then he tries to get Jesus into an absurd situation to test whether or not the words of Scripture are literally true. Finally, he offers Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. All three are temptations not to trust God. Jesus' temptations are somewhat more dramatic than the ones we come up against, but it is only a matter of degree. His three temptations boil down to the three tests we know about too. First, not to trust that God will take care of our material needs. Second, not to trust in God's general goodwill toward us. And third, not to trust that it is better to obey God than to have the power and the pleasure the world offers if we disobey. Because Jesus went through what we go through, he can understand us and comfort us and get us through all the testings and temptations life brings us. But we cannot do it without his help. So we dare not forget these words of St. Peter. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And now, unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as both justly due all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen.